today on The Breakdown. There just aren't any times in your in your life. Just aren't many times in your life when you get the opportunity to win $1 million. It's just not that often. You know, you walk around, maybe you play the lottery, but let's be honest, you're not winning the lottery. So you put the money in, but you know you're not winning it. So I wouldn't even count that. When do you really get a chance to win $1 million in life? Well, if you're you, never. But if you're Patrick Antonius, sometimes. Sometimes, sometimes. And if you're Jesse Lonis, you know, sometimes. Sort of. And Jesse Lonis and Patrick Antonius are going to play for $1 million. And maybe you as well. Because, you know, if you play big poker events, you can win $1 million. Or probably other things like tennis. Can you win $1 million if you win, like, a big tennis tournament, Grant? Grant. Golf. I know you win a lot for golf. So if you guys are good at golf, maybe you could win $1 million there. Poker, obviously, is a way, too. That's what Patrick Antonius is going to try and do in this hand from the Triton Jeju 8-handed event. $30,000 buy-in. $1.175 million for first place. And just a host of killers sit at the table with these guys. Adrian Mateos, David Peters, Seth Gottlieb, Phil Ivey, Fetter Holtz. I mean, come on. Come on. Brian Kim. There's 15 left. Everything's on the line. There's nothing left but to win this hand on The Breakdown. With Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say, fuck the second take. Now this baby's scratching the vinyls until the record breaks. Mr. One
Night is on. It's the charm of it, you know? If they're all good, it's not so special. You need to have the salt to taste the sweet.
Right.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, people say that.
Yeah. Got
that. I mean, it's, yeah, you did a lot of stuff that I didn't like there.
Really?
I liked it. I like that you did it, but like, I don't like it conceptually, you know, yeah. Like the hyperbole, like they're playing for $1 million. They're playing a hand with 15 left.
Yeah.
First place is over a million. There's 15 players left.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Are you trying to get me to click on something? What's going on here? You can't click once you're in the podcast on like a word in the podcast. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
So why are you trying to get me to click on your words?
I thought it'd be cool if you clicked.
I can't. It's not something that happens.
But it'd be cool if you did.
Do you know how technology works? I feel like you don't know.
It's like something to do with electrons.
I mean, electrons are part of it, but it's also, you know, the hyperlinks and stuff. Those are visual. Those are not a thing that you do with your mind and like just click on things with your mind. So yeah, I have problems with that. I have problems with everything's on the line. I have problems with a lot of the way that you do stuff, including how you open this thing. And I think it kind of contextualizes the whole podcast in a way that the listeners aren't going to believe anything that we say. They're going to be like, oh, they're like, oh yeah, they're just salespeople. They're just lying to me.
Mm.
So
heavy.
Yeah.
Really heavy stuff, man.
Jesse Lonis, huh? He's making a name for himself these days.
I mean,
this guy.
He's playing in this 30K event.
Yeah.
This is real stuff now.
We did a Jesse Lonis hand like a couple months ago, right? It was a 5K event, one of the Poker Go events.
And he was playing against Becker, right?
Yeah, and we thought he played the hand masterfully.
We thought both of them played well, but we thought Lonis like ultimately was the owner.
He out-leveled.
Like, yeah, but they both played a really high-level hand. And what are you
going
to do? Right,
but it seemed like Lonis had this good plan the whole way through.
Yeah. I agree.
And he makes some interesting decisions that we are going to need to talk about in this hand. And of course, there's Patrick Antonius, the ageless one. He's always there and he always looks the same.
Are you saying he doesn't age? Because that's weird.
That's what I said.
He obviously ages.
How?
Also, ageless means he has no age. He's
I know.
Without
it's
age.
Just, I was colloquial.
That makes no sense.
I was going colloquial. People say that.
What would he look like if he was without age? Would he be like a puddle?
Well, the concept of nothingness, while easy to talk about, is impossible to truly conceptualize.
Yeah.
So I don't know is the answer. Because I can't conceptualize nothingness. I'm not going to pretend that I can and lie to the people like you do. So you're going to say you can conceptualize nothingness?
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm saying that right now. Right. I can conceptualize.
Go ahead, do it. I'm going to watch you conceptualize nothing.
I'm doing it right now.
No, I can tell that you can't do it. I can tell that you can't do it.
It's easy. You just don't picture anything.
That's not nothingness.
I pictured nothing. Duh.
You did it.
Hey, I bet you can't tell me how much Patrick Antonius has won total live earnings in his career.
Yeah, he's like more of a cash player than a tournament player. I'm going to go with $8 million.
You finally have been brought down, and it took the seemingly ageless wonder.
Okay.
The finish line. Oh, that's a good nickname for him, the finish line. Like the end boss, but he's the finish line because he's from Finland.
Yeah.
Why doesn't anyone come up with that? $17.4 million.
Okay.
So I think Patrick Antonis would like me to tell you to suck it.
All right. Jesse Lonis, $9 million.
Jesse Lonis, that's pretty good. Jesse Lonis is actually $7.5 million.
Okay.
We'll give you that one. Well, we may have told you that about a month ago, but
I think so.
Still, that's pretty all right.
How much do they get paid right now? 15 out of 185 left.
I'm going to tell you. They get paid $82,000. As you may recall, first place, $1.2 million.
Right, and it's a 30K buy-in.
It's a 30K buy-in. So the money jumps are very unimpressive for quite a while.
Okay. Patrick doesn't care. That's how much one of his tennis rackets costs.
I mean, he was a professional tennis player.
I know. That's how much one of his tennis rackets costs.
Do you think if he wasn't so damn good looking, he wouldn't have made it in the old tennis game?
I don't know. It's an interesting question because I think being incredibly good looking probably helps in everything a little bit. You know, maybe you got a coach to be interested in coaching him a little bit more, like even just without realizing it, you know?
Yeah, you probably get sponsorships that he wouldn't have otherwise got, which gives him other opportunities he otherwise wouldn't get and puts him in places he wouldn't otherwise be.
Right.
So on and so forth.
It's probably just good in all ways to be like a solid 10 out of 10. Good for you, Patrick Antonius. All right.
Probably not in all ways. Everyone wants to touch you.
You want to touch him?
No, everyone wants to touch you if you're a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
That's not great. You don't want that. No one wants that.
So you
want
to be, what's the perfect attractiveness number to be? Like an 8.5? So everybody's like, oh, that's a good looking person, but I don't need to touch them.
No, the problem with being an 8.5 is you're just aware of what you don't have.
So you have to be a 10 then?
No, you want to be like a 9. It's a little better than 8.5 because a 9 can get with a 10. But isn't treated like a 10.
Are you saying an 8.5 can't get with a 10?
I'm saying an 8.5
is
really...
What about a funny 8.5?
Has to work hard in
the bedroom. What about a really funny 8.5?
Okay, yeah, sure. Like a Jonah Hill.
Yeah. Who is, by the way, a funny 8.5? Jonah Hill. Qualified 8.5. Yeah.
I think an 8.5 can do it, but they really need to bring a lot to the table. A 9 can just sort of accidentally be with a 10, you know, like... because it's close enough.
I didn't know that you knew all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I study this.
Yeah, okay.
I study this closely.
So what's the difference between being a 9 and a 9.5 then?
Oh, the difference is that you don't get sponsorship deals based on your eyes when you're a 9. Like, no one's throwing money at you when you're a 9. You're just very, very good.
You might
looking.
Get promoted more quickly, hired in better spots.
You get
spots.
Treated differently. You get drinks bought for you wherever you go without even trying. You think that's just how the world is. People just buy you stuff. But... you don't get big money thrown at you. 9.5s like get offered modeling contracts and stuff like that. You know, like
Okay.
They get put in commercials. People say like you should be a pop star, and then try and make them into a pop star. You know, like that's what happens when you're 9.5. Mm. And when you're a 10, obviously you're already rich.
Yeah, you're just born rich. There's money in your hand when you're born.
Good deal. Except everyone wants to touch you, and no one likes that.
Yeah, right. Which is the problem with being a 10. Hey, this was suggested by Chris Jones and Ruthino.
Nice.
It's suggested on Discord. There's a link in the show notes to our Discord.
I would say Ruthino is like a 9.5 for a suggester.
Yeah.
And Chris Jones is like a 7. But I think 7 is where you want to be, Chris Jones.
Yeah.
I think that's the better
way.
For
Chris Jones, that's a really good.
And to be clear, we're not talking about anyone's looks.
No, we don't
really. We don't even know what Ruthino looks like.
No, we don't care.
We're talking about as a suggester.
Yeah.
And maybe overall just, you know, part of the member of the community.
As a person.
A solid 7.
Yeah.
And we're grading on a scale, like a 5 is like an F. It's like a failing grade. You're not failing.
Yeah.
You're like a solid...
like you would pass high school, but you're
barely.
But you're going to community college.
If, you know, you got the money and the prospects, which is... maybe you were good at like a sport. because they need players.
They do. The Bandits, they need a player.
We haven't insulted Chris Jones in a while. It feels good.
I know. It's part of the brand.
Yeah.
And the brand is suffering from not doing it. All right. 15 remain.
Okay.
It's an 8-handed tournament, so there's going to be 7 or 8 players at this table, which that would be the case even if there were a 9-handed tournament. Isn't that exciting?
You really broke that down.
Patrick Antonius has 4.8 million, 48 bigs. He opens from the hijack with ace 5 off to 225. A little loose, don't you think?
Yes, I do think. And this is probably a table full of good players because I mentioned a lot of the players who were left. So does Antonius just think he's so good? Maybe he feels like everyone's tightened up a lot because of the money? I don't really get it.
Seems unlikely with this field.
And also, honestly, this part of the tournament is the place where you're not supposed to be tight. Like, you're supposed to play.
Yeah.
Like, accumulate. Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it is surprising he opens, but I guess
is it possible that Antonius, and this would not be an out-of-this-world thought, if this were what Patrick Antonius told me his thoughts were, I would not be surprised. If he was like, I'm actually just way better than everybody else.
No, so I would believe that. Maybe he also thinks he's maybe not technically better than a guy like David Peters, but maybe he thinks he's got a big edge on him because they're playing live.
Right.
And he like has all this live experience. And so he just feels like he can make better decisions than anybody because of that. And maybe he's right.
And maybe Antonius is the type of guy who has these like incredible physical reads. Like some of the stuff he did back in the day on High Stakes Poker was just like insane hero calls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible he is really awesome with the physical tells and things like that.
I didn't even mention, by the way, that João Vieira is also playing.
Oh,
still
that guy's amazing.
He's top fucking notch. I did mention Phil Ivey, I think, and Federer Holtz, right? But my God, this is stacked. But I'm assuming Phil Ivey isn't at the table, or still the act anyway, if Patrick's opening ace five off in early position.
Because we know it's not early position, it's hijack, but it's
hijack. Okay.
Mid position.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you mean because Antonio just respects Ivey that much?
Well, he wouldn't think he's definitely the best player at the table, like for live reads and all that. Even if he thinks like, maybe he thinks he's better than Ivy, but he wouldn't think by a lot.
Right.
It's at least close, and Ivy's going to make his life hard at a minimum.
It feels like a non-humble open.
Agreed.
The ace five off and the hijack.
Agreed. This is like one of those people at karaoke who doesn't want to do like the quiet song. They want to do the loud, like, I'm showing off song. And then you're like, is this a good choice for you? You know, they're doing like, I Will Survive. And you're like, that's a lot, man. Maybe keep the chill. Go chill.
Yeah.
Go Hotel California. You can't really screw that up. You know,
I mean, it's like he thinks it's the bubble. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, that's what he does. He opens ace five off. Ace of clubs, five of spades, 225. Jesse Lonis, the kid of the moment, always wearing those sunglasses like it's 2004 while playing poker. I don't think any of the other high rollers are doing that, but he's doing it. He's got 2.7 million, 27 bigs.
Okay.
Let's see if we can find a more confounding preflop decision than Antonio's opening ace five off.
Okay, let's see if we can do it.
Lonis on the button, 27 bigs, flats, ace eight off.
Sir, I would like to take Jesse Lonis's decision for more confounding.
Yeah.
More surprising.
All right.
More confusing.
So obviously,
is Antonio's opening every fucking hand?
Why not three bet then?
Great. Well, because we're actually calling for value.
But there's still a big blind that's like ace eight off does not flop that well that often. Like
it can do
all right heads up, but
I don't disagree. Now let's be clear, Jesse Lonis has been doing very, very, very well, and we don't think he is in any way a fish. I'm sure he's better than both of us.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're saying what the hell was wrong with this kid. We're saying what's going on.
Right. I mean, is it just that ace eight off is that good of a hand in his mind that he can flat on the button against a player like Patrick Antonius when he has 27 bigs?
I can't see how that could be the case. I wouldn't think ace nine off is good enough to do that with either. I wouldn't want to do that with ace 10 off. I'd want to three bet all those hands or fold them personally.
Right. Yeah.
So
I don't think you, Jonathan Levy, I would have to think about myself, would have much of a flatting range in general with 27 bigs on the button.
Not very much. I think there's a few hands like the king, queen suited of the world. I might sometimes call with.
Yeah.
That feels like a
jack 10 suited maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some suited connector to 9-10 suited. But like, I think ace jack, for example, maybe ace jack suited, I can call sometimes on the button, but like ace jack off is three better fold.
Yeah,
for sure. 27 blinds. We gotta take this shit seriously. So why is Jesse Lonis doing not that at all?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's not a good enough hand to trap the big blind. If the big blind has like 12 blinds, we're not looking to get 12 blinds in with
his
hand.
Does the big blind have 12 blinds?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, what would be a reason, you know?
I mean, all I can think of is Patrick must be opening, like, every fucking
hand. Then 3-bet. So why not 3-bet?
And maybe he feels like Patrick is also good enough at live reads and all that, that, like, he's going to get 4-bet too much.
So let's put it in a spot where Patrick's going to read us post-flop as he gets more information about how we react.
I'm just trying to come up with something here. Yeah. Like, if this has to be for value, we're calling for value.
Yeah.
We're not calling so we can bluff later on the button only, right? That's
how would you
think,
feel?
We think we have a hand that's good enough to call here.
How would you feel if it were suited with 27 bigs? If we're ace eight suited,
I think you can talk yourself into it.
Yeah.
Would I do it? Not against Patrick. I do it against worse players.
Yeah.
If I was going to flat, but I wouldn't want to flat very often with this many blinds.
Is
I
it
think
possible?
I think it's mostly a fold.
Are we looking at this in the wrong way? Does Jesse Lonas have absolutely zero respect for Patrick Antonius?
Whoa, maybe Jesse Lonas is thinking, I've got him technically I'm so far ahead of him technically, and he thinks all the live stuff matters, and it doesn't. And so my job is to play hands with him in position with reasonable blockers. Still, I don't know why we're not 3-betting a hand like this.
Because then you can get blown off the hand. Antonius might be 4-betting a lot in this type of spot.
Right, and he's like, I can just outplay him post-flop with position.
Yeah.
And this hand's good enough to do it with. That feels like the answer, actually. It feels like that almost has to be the answer. What else could be going on here?
I don't know.
This can't be a solver-approved call. I know we've gone through this before with, like, King 6 suited in the small blind. It turns out it is.
Yeah.
But it sure felt wrong. And I still will say, if you don't know how to play all the rest of the game tree post-flop, you probably shouldn't make that call.
Segebrecht.
If you can't play it like a solver post-flop, you probably shouldn't call like a solver pre-flop. But moving on, this can't be a GTO call. Right? It just can't be.
I wouldn't expect it to be, but I've been surprised before.
Agreed. You know? And the fact that Jesse Lonas is doing it makes me think, is it possibly we're just wrong about this?
Of course it is.
With the situation being exactly what it is, and he just knows it that well.
Yeah.
Maybe. I will say this, if he was, you know, Jim Lonas instead, we'd be like, this is an amateur, he has no idea what he's doing.
Well, if he was Jim Lonas, he'd be selling cars, because that is definitely the name of a car salesman.
Yeah, but he's a car salesman, he was a weekend warrior.
Come on down to Jim Lonas's Toyota. We have all the new models and the good used ones, too. Factory certified. Jim Lotus. Always your Lotus.
You really sound it. And the good used ones, too.
Yeah.
That's how they talk in car commercials.
Yeah.
Just like that. You've watched a lot of TV. It's clear.
I can be the new car commercial. I will be the new car. I am become car commercial. Okay?
Yep.
You understand?
It's an Oppenheimer reference.
No. It's a reference to the man, not the movie. Okay? I refuse to reference a Nolan movie.
Right. It's a reference to Oppenheimer.
Yeah. But he preferred that we pronounce it Oppenheimer. So I will honor him.
Oppenheimer?
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. Okay. Yeah. You didn't even see the movie, right?
Not yet. I will.
He won Best Picture last night.
I know. I don't care. He won. So did Roma. Did you see that?
It did not win Best Picture. It was just nominated.
Oh, well.
I did not see
it. Are you sure it didn't win?
Yeah, I am sure. Because it's a Netflix movie, Netflix still hasn't won a Best Picture.
Okay.
Well, and they really want
it
to.
It basically won Best Picture, and nobody saw it.
Yeah.
Four people saw it.
And I didn't watch
it. And they all pretended they liked it enough for it to get nominated for Best Picture.
I was afraid it was going to be boring, so I didn't watch it.
Yeah, that's me too. But sometimes those movies are actually really
fun. They're often great, those movies. Those are like the Hotel Rwandas for me of the world, and the Short Term 24, is that what it's called?
Short Term 12?
Short Term 12. Both those movies I took a long time to watch because I was like, am I going to like this? Isn't it going to be boring? And I loved them both. I was like emotionally into it right away and cared so much and was so glad I watched them. So it's probably like
so that. After this podcast, are we watching Roma? Let's do it, baby. Let's hit up some Roma.
All right.
Anyway, Lonas flats ace-8 off, and it feels like 2005 with the sunglasses and the ace-8 off.
It's really, really weird.
I don't know. The best guess, I think, is that he doesn't respect Patrick.
I mean, yeah, because you're right. If we think Patrick is opening too much, this is a perfectly fine hand to 3-bet for sure.
Yeah.
It feels like way better than a call. We would never really consider calling, and yet this very, very good player's calling. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
700K in the pot.
Here we go.
The blinds both fold.
Great.
Jack of clubs, six of clubs, three of spades. Antonius has the ace of clubs. He checks. This surprises me.
Yep. If we're opening ace five off, why are we checking now?
Right. We have two back doors.
We have the ace of clubs, so it's a good back door.
Yeah.
He just thinks this board is bad, but it isn't that bad. It's a pretty neutral board anyway, and maybe even a little better than neutral. Like, Lona shouldn't have that many things that connect with this board. Does he just think Lona's, because he has 27 blinds, has so much, has like pocket eights a lot or something and doesn't want to bust pocket eights pre?
My best guess is that Antonius is looking for a check raise here. When he has the ace of clubs, when Lonas flats 27 bigs, he thinks Lonas doesn't have that many continues against a check raise because he doesn't have that many nut flush draws. So right. What's he going to continue with? He has to have a jack.
He doesn't have jack, that's for sure. Yeah. So yeah, he has to have a jack and decide to hold on.
Right. So maybe that's a good plan when you have the ace of clubs. Mm. I don't know. That's the best guess I got. What do you
Yeah,
got?
That's reasonable. And also Lonas, of course, yeah, he's going to bet a lot more things than just a jack. And I don't even know if he's holding on with all his jacks. Like, probably right. He is. He probably has to. But yeah, that's pretty fair. Also, Patrick actually also blocks 4-5. He blocks all the big draws.
Yeah, he does.
So that's pretty interesting, actually. So the guy can only have made hands, and what made hands does he have besides like a good jack and pocket sixes and pocket threes? There's like nothing else. That's
you wouldn't really expect
strong.
That many things because he has 27 bigs, but I guess he's flatting with a pretty wide range.
I guess
27
he is,
bigs.
Right. So he can have king, queen here almost certainly, right? Yeah. And I guess pocket eights is probably here too.
Yeah.
And we can probably get pocket eights to bet fold some of the time at least.
My guess is that Patrick was going to go for the check raise.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
Hard to say. I mean, I don't think he's check calling. That seems weird.
No. But Lonas checks back.
Okay.
Do you think he should have taken the stab once he got the option?
I mean, it feels like Lonas is believing his ace high is the best hand.
It is.
But it feels like he thinks that too and is deciding just to keep the pot small and not get in any weird spots and just play for value, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. This is very surprising, this hand, so far. All these decisions are not... I think all four decisions are a little surprising to me, where I would think everyone would have played it differently so far. And yet, here we are. These are experts.
Like, Antonio shouldn't be in the hand, and Lona should have opened the button and won the hand when the big blind folded.
Yep.
Is basically how it should have gone.
Or Antonio's opens, and Lona's always three bets and the hand's over. Or we get to the flop, and Antonio's just bets. Although the check raise at least maybe makes sense as a possibility. And now he's like repping like ace-king with the ace-king clubs, basically.
Or so a set or an overpair who's like, I hope you have a jack.
Yeah.
You know.
And then Lona's not deciding to try and clean up his equity at worst and bluff Antonio's off a better hand at best is interesting too.
Yeah. So we go check.
Wow.
We got the king of clubs, which I guess Antonio's likes to see, but it's not a great card for either player overall. Antonio does pick up the nut flush draw. But a king is a big part of both of their range, right?
Yeah, I mean, Patrick has ace-king, and doesn't seem like Lonas can really have ace-king, at least.
Probably not.
And Patrick maybe has some king-king. I don't know. Lonas doesn't, right? Almost ever.
Patrick probably doesn't have hands like king-10 and king-queen, though. You'd think he would see-bet those hands instead of trying to check-raise those hands.
I would think so, especially the king of clubs being on the board, right? Because if he had the king of clubs in his hand, maybe. If he's going to do it with the ace of clubs, maybe do it with the king of clubs. But now he can't have the king of clubs. So.
Yeah. Anyway, Antonius bets.
That makes a lot of sense.
He has enough flush draw. He can rep ace king.
He can rep king queen.
Maybe. We just talked about how he probably doesn't have king queen.
He probably doesn't, but he can still rep it. I mean, he checked ace five. I mean, it's hard to know exactly what's happening here, right?
But at this point, it makes sense to bet.
Yeah.
So he bets 325 into 700.
Great.
Fine. I don't know if he needs to bet that much.
There are three clubs. I think he's trying to act like he has ace king without a club. Why would he do that?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Right. Almost like he's trying to protect against a club coming out. That's where I was going with that. But, I mean, whatever. So you thinking about less because Lona should have pretty straightforward decisions here either way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In this case, this is an obvious fold. Like, you don't have anything anyway. If Lonas has, like, two eights, let's say, instead.
It's a fold.
Probably just give up, right?
Yeah.
Even with the eight of clubs, we probably...
It's just such a bad situation. We only have 27 blinds to start the hand.
Right. We're like, I guess I could have three bet and maybe one, but now I played it this way and here we are. Yeah. Yeah, I still have a lot of chips. Who cares?
Yeah, so I don't know. It seems like too big of a bet.
Okay.
But anyway, Jesse Lonas calls.
How much would you like Patrick's to bet there?
225.
Yeah.
200.
200
like
feels fine to me. I like that.
But Lonas calls.
Lonas calls with the ace eight with the eight of clubs. It feels like he's using his eight of clubs as a potential blocker to maybe make a play later, right? Like if a club comes, or even if it doesn't and there's a check, he can rep the flush.
I just don't understand how you could make the call preflop and this call. I don't understand how these things make sense.
Because our club could be completely dead here. We could be drawing completely dead, and that's that.
He's actually been in front both times, but it's really hard to imagine that he's in front of the range both times.
Right. Agreed.
It seems like a... I mean, as you said, he's very much better than us at poker. So
and here's the thing. He's right.
Yeah.
He's been right every time. All his decisions so far have been correct. If he could see Patrick's hands, he probably would have done these exact things.
So is he cheating?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I guess if you could see Patrick's hand, he could three bet pre and he could bet the flop too. But he wouldn't mind keeping those hands in when you've got him dominated either. Yeah. It's okay, right? Yeah. Especially on this board where your eight's going to play a lot.
Right. You
know? In fact, kind of always, nearly always. Very interesting. Very strange. I would think Lotus would either, mostly just fold here. I think a raise is like kind of a tough story to tell. We have to have checked back a flush draw to raise here, right? It looks like we have the ace of clubs when we do it, and that's not really what you want to look like when Patrick looks like
because Patrick's just going to hold on with ace king then.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, he ain't folding a king here. No way.
So I don't know. I understand Antonio's betting the turn. I think I understand him checking the flop if his intent is to check raise.
Yeah.
But I think you could question every decision that each player has made so far.
Yep. I mean, betting the turn, we can really get behind betting the turn.
Yeah, just sizing. Yeah. Anyway, Lotus calls. Here we are.
Wow. This is bananas.
Ace of clubs, 5 for Patrick. Ace of hearts, 8 of clubs for Lotus. On the jack of clubs, 6 of clubs, 3 of spades, king of clubs board.
Yeah.
$1.35 million in the pot. Queen of spades on the river.
Yeah.
Very wet card. Not a club, but very wet card. Antonius now checks. Do you think he should have taken a stab?
I mean, what is Lotus supposed to have? The only thing that Lotus can call if we put in a big bet with, I would think, would be king-queen, right?
I mean, if he has king-10, is he going to fold?
King-10 with the 10 of clubs, but how can he have that hand? He shouldn't have that hand.
He probably has it, though.
I know. I'm aware, but he shouldn't. If I was Antonius, I would never think he had king-10 off unless I'd seen this.
So you think he's just going to fold top pair if we bet again?
If he has king-10 suited... He's probably going to call, right? Because he's only losing to ace-king and queen-queen.
Yeah.
And even queen-queen probably doesn't take this line. Queen-queen probably bets flop and doesn't bet turn instead of vice versa.
And
most of the
I guess not flush is there sometimes, but like they took this line, but...
Yeah, sure. But a lot of time it's just the naked ace of clubs too.
Yeah.
Like it is.
So Antonius checks.
Now it looks like Antonius has ace-queen with the ace of clubs.
He's effectively giving up.
Yeah.
Should Lotus take a stab now?
I mean... If Lotus doesn't bet now, I don't know what the hell we're doing in this hand at all.
If he bets, what should he rep? And ipso facto,
nice.
What size should he choose?
Okay, I think he should be repping a top pair type hand, like a king.
You don't think king-queen? You don't think he should rep king-queen?
Well, that's a really good top pair type hand, but I think he
would
bet...
two pair.
Two. I understand.
Double.
I'm saying I think if he has king-jack suited, he should bet that too.
King-jack, two pair.
There's a jack on the board? Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a good hand. We should bet that. If he has king-10 suited, should he bet? I think we could probably go for some value against Patrick, who's going to make some... We've seen Patrick make lots of hero calls. Patrick has ace-queen. He might just find a call. I think we should bet. So I think we should bet our kings.
Okay, so I think Lotus is trying to rep exactly king-10.
Yeah.
Because he bets 350 into 1.35. He's like, well, I didn't bet the flop, so I guess I don't have too much king-jack, so I can't rep that.
Right.
King-queen, I guess I could rep that, but I'd rather rep something that has more combos. Although, it depends on if he has king-10 off, which Antonio shouldn't be putting him on, and king-queen off, he should have.
It's possible Lotus is repping king-queen also, because really he's betting at Patrick's fairly weak range here.
Patrick he's like, call me with 10s.
Call me with ace-queen. Call me with 10s. Whatever, right? I have king-queen, I have king-10.
It's still ambitious and kind of cool to like size it so small when you want to fold.
It looks very believable that he's got something, that he's got a speed. I mean, I guess he does have a speed, but not the way anyone thinks, right?
Yep.
So both of them think they have the worst hand.
Yep. Antonius definitely does.
Yep.
All right. So the question becomes for Antonius, do I want to make the play because I have the nut blocker?
It feels like very obvious to make the play here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because first of all, like Lotus betting starts to put him in a very, like there's a lot of hands he doesn't have now, right? He probably doesn't have very many flushes.
Probably doesn't have jack-10.
Probably doesn't have jack-10. Like, stronger hands would have shown up earlier or bet more now, most of the time, at least.
You would think.
Maybe not always, but most of the time. By the way, he might fold a really strong hand anyway if we make a play here, right? Because we've got the ace of clubs, and he don't. That's good. Lotus also has a bunch of bluffs that might be better than our hand, right? Because he feels like he has to bet, right? Like, if he checks back, Like, if Lonas had somehow, a jack, like jack 10, he's probably just checking that back on the river, right? Yeah. But if he has two eights and Patrick checks the river after having bet the turn, he might feel like he can get a slightly better hand to fold. He might attack
a jack. You bet 350?
I don't know.
Well, he's doing it with ace 8, so maybe he would.
Yeah, maybe he would, right. I'm sure he's trying to be balanced, so he's betting, like, perhaps, I'm just inventing this here, but king, queen, king, 10, and some bluffs at this price.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, something like that, right? With some frequency.
And then a few disguised really good hands, probably.
Yeah, a few. But a lot of those you're going to go for more value and hope Patrick has ace king, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And is, like, afraid of king, queen, or king, jack, or not really king, jack, but king, queen mainly.
Yeah. Anyway, Antonius does it. He moves in. 2.3 million effective.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's mostly going to work.
Do you think he's doing a good job repping the nut flush?
Not a great job.
So Lonas is going to have to call with king queen, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Patrick could have been check raising the flop with his nut flush draw and then turns the flush and now is going for all the value on the river.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
Right. But well, Lonas has to call with king queen.
Yeah, for sure. Top two, we have to call. Even though, because we're like, I mean, the thing is, Patrick would never turn ace king into a bluff, even with the ace of clubs, I don't think, when we bet 350.
Probably not.
He's just like, I beat king 10, right?
Yeah.
I call. Yeah. It's interesting. It's a weird hand.
It's a very weird hand. Lonas obviously folds.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not sure if it was a great time for the play by Antonius, honestly. Like, I understand the nut blocker is important, but I think Lonas is going to have to call with king queen. I think he's going to consider it with other hands because Antonius' story is not amazing. You can justify it.
Lonas shouldn't really have, except for flushes, shouldn't really have any clubs in his hand. Now, he does.
Yeah.
But it's hard to come up with clubs that he could really have.
Right.
Single clubs, right? Yeah. So that's a reason to make a play because it means he's less likely to have a blocker that he'd want to call with.
Right.
So I think that.
I guess. Man, this is a weird hand. I don't know how to wrap my mind around it.
I think I like the move-in by Patrick, maybe the best of all the things that happened here, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. Lonas just feels like he was just kind of out adventuring on an island and it didn't work out.
I mean, he was really close. Like, it's crazy because he could just check back the river and win, but he doesn't know that, and he ends up losing an additional 3.5 blinds instead by going for it. Now, I'm sure that overall philosophy works for him and is one of the reasons why he's where he is. But it really didn't work this time.
So how did this tournament end up?
Well, Mr. Lonas, we can start to call him Mr. Bonus, as in a bonus baby, as in he didn't do that well.
What?
He finished 13th for $90,000. Patrick Antonius, we can start calling him Patrick Ambonius, because he crushed it. He like got an extra bonus bit of money. Finished 7th for $198,000.
Okay, great work. Great work, everybody.
Adrian Mateos, David Peters went first and second.
Good for them. Yeah. The good players won. Good for them.
Right.
Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. Night is baby scratching them vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second dates. I'm the rapper most likely to make it.